What do the following have in common? A room full of demons? A haunted asylum? A supernatural hag emerging from a closet? And a small little ghost girl trying to climb into your bed? They've all come to bother one remarkable woman. Let's hear a handful of her strange encounters today on Homespun Haints.
Hey everyone, welcome to Homespun Haints. This is our third episode. Can you believe it? Thanks for listening to us. I'm Becky.
I'm Diana.
And we are joined here with Brittany.
Hi.
I have no idea what Brittany's going to talk about because she has so many stories.
Okay, so, excellent.
Yes.
Yes, you're the friend that Becky took cemetery hunting, ghost hunting, in the middle of the night by yourselves there in Roswell.
Yes.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
So she went over to the Dunwoody grave and I was standing like behind the tree because it's like every part of me was like, do not go over there. And then just everything in the cemetery just changed. And I was like, I don't think we're supposed to be here. And she, like, before I could even say that, she jumps and runs past me and runs right out of that cemetery. And I'm like, crap. She's leaving me.
So let me get this straight. So you went to a haunted cemetery at night willfully.
Yes.
Because you're a badass?
Sure.
Well, I should let you know how we even got into the discussion of doing this in the first place. So we were hanging out earlier that day watching the kids play, and Brittany reveals to me that she had voluntarily gone to visit a haunted, abandoned, insane asylum at night.
Yes.
In Peoria? I think it was Peoria, Illinois.
Yes. with my cousin one night, we were like, hey, let's go out. And then so we're going out and he's like, hey, let me take you to, you know, the sanatorium. And so we go over there, it's closed, they were about to tear it down, and found out that my grandmother had worked there as a nurse at one point. We couldn't get into it, so he's like, hey, there's a tuberculosis clinic just down the street that's supposedly super haunted. I was like, okay, well, let's just go over there. 11:30 at night. So we go over to it. It's only a couple blocks from the hospital. So we go over there. It just was really weird. He and I didn't even get our whole entire foot over onto the property before we heard a whisper that said, get out. Yeah, so we hopped in his truck and we took off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't blame you.
I know. It was just like crazy. So,
well, to your credit, I've been to Peoria. There's not much to do.
Yes, that's why, you know, that's why he's like, hey, let's go check out some haunts. So,
why not?
I know. Why not? Nothing else to do.
Poor Peoria.
I know. Poor Peoria.
So I don't know if you're willing to talk about this, but I remember a story you told me once about a dagger or a sword or something that haunted
us. Yes, I actually forgot about that. And I made a little list of different stories, but I forgot to put that one on my list. So thanks for reminding me. My husband and I, we've been married. This year will be 16 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And first got married, we lived in this small 800 square foot mobile home. And of course, he brings all of his stuff over. And one of it was this historic, I don't even know where it's even from, but it's like from, I guess, some war. Hold on, he's going to tell me.
It's an 18th century Russian Cossack sword that was taken off of a Korean officer.
So, yeah, that.
And it was... I guess it was taken off of the officer against his will. Was it like taken off of his corpse?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I don't know where, like what actually happened, but I didn't even realize that it was even in the house. Anyway, I remember one night we were laying in bed. You know, when someone just kind of enters the room, the energy just kind of changes and you can just kind of feel that there's just something, there's a presence. I woke up and the room was pitch black. And all of a sudden I felt this man just grabbed my shoulders and pushed me into the bed. I could not move. I could not scream. This happened every single night. And so I finally was like, what the heck changed? Because I had other experiences there and, you know, I did a house blessing and everything kind of stopped. So what changed? And of course, getting married changed. So I asked him and sure enough, I made him take that sword out and everything stopped. So that sword's no longer allowed to be in my house.
And you don't know where it is, right?
I have no idea where it's at and I don't care. And the thing is like I remember like I could see him in my head and you could see the anger, the hurt, and the pain in his eyes. And it was almost like he really didn't want to hurt me, but yet he couldn't. Like he just couldn't break away from it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It was just really weird. So I mean I was scared, but I didn't necessarily feel like I was going to be killed. You know what I mean? Like I didn't feel fearful for my life, but I felt like I didn't want this here. You know, it was just like a repeat that was constantly happening, like a chain that couldn't be broken.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I understand. Cool. You said you had a list of stories.
Ooh, we like lists of stories.
I'll start more on the dark side. My first experience that I ever had with a demon was when I was about 13 years old. I was going through some really dark times and I was just very trapped in my life at the time. So anyway, I remember it was a Wednesday night. We went to church and I didn't have a good time at church. And then on the way home, I got into an argument with my stepfather in the van on the way home. And I remember like just going off on him. My mom, she kept trying to get me to like shut up. And I just went and I was just going to tell him and give him a piece of my mind. Whenever I got home, of course, I got my butt beat and sent to my room. And as soon as I went into my room and slammed the door, everything changed. I could see my door, but there were no more walls. And it was dark and red. And I could hear the crackling of fire. And all of a sudden, surrounding my walls were demons. And all they were doing was laughing. They were legions. And they were saying, we're going to get you and you're mine. And I remember freaking out. All I saw was my bedroom door besides all of that. So I ran to my bedroom door, opened it. And the moment I opened it, it was gone. It was my bedroom again. So I was like terrified to go back into my room. So I went to my brother's room and I was like, hey, can you please just sit with me? I'm supposed to be in my room. I don't want to get in trouble again. So he came into my bedroom and he laid in bed with me and was there for me until I could fall asleep. But it was super scary. Ever since then, I've been very sensitive to that type of thing. And I feel like, I don't know, it just felt like there was something dark over me for quite a while. Fast forward, when I was about 15, I was living on my own by that time. And I was staying in the house that I was staying in with my husband. But of course, we weren't together or married, and this is before I think I even met him. I remember one night I was laying in bed, and my bed used to be kind of like up against the wall, like in a corner. And I had my Bible on my nightstand. I remember drifting off to sleep, probably about 2 a.m. I felt that change in the room, and it just woke me right out of my sleep. And I could just feel like all the hairs on my body creeping up. So I grabbed my Bible and I tried to hold it tight. And then all of a sudden my closet door started opening and my closet door was at my eye level. So when I was laying in my bed, I had my back against the wall and I was looking and my closet was on the other side of the room. So the door was kind of cracking open. And then I saw this, all I can describe her is like a witch. She was womanly. She was ugly. I mean, like, it was just very creepy. And all of a sudden, it bolted across the room, and she grabbed me by my neck, and I slammed against the wall. Oh. And I remember trying to grab my Bible, and I couldn't reach my Bible, and I couldn't speak. I was struggling, and so all I did was I could do is pray. And so I was just praying and praying and praying. Finally, the grip loosened up, so I jumped out of my bed and I ran a couple doors down where my grandma lived, banging on her door. And she opened, she's like, you know, Brittany, what's going on? And I was like, I just got attacked. And she's like, well, what do you mean? And I said, I don't know, but I just got attacked. So we went into the bathroom and I was like in tears and I was hysterical. And she's like, oh my gosh, Brittany, you have hand marks around your neck. And so she could see that I had like red handprints around my neck. And so I was like, can I please just stay with you tonight? So she let me stay with her. And then the next day we did a blessing. And my grandfather, he had a crucifix. So I guess actually it was just after he passed away. So he was a pastor. He had a crucifix that he used to use, and she gave it to me. And we went around and we did some blessings and protection and stuff around me in the house. And so she told me to just hang my crucifix in the middle of, you know, whatever home I live in, and it'll protect me. So that's what I do. And I still do that to this day. When I met my husband, and then the whole Russian soldier thing happened. So it was like, okay, what happened? Because nothing's supposed to be here. So
right. I still want to know where he got that sword. I mean, of all random
off
things
of a Korean soldier, obviously.
Right. Country. Yeah, it probably came from his mom's side, is my best guess. That was scary. But I really haven't had too many experiences with demons since then. So most of the other experiences I had were much lighter and beautiful. The first time that I really started seeing like full body apparitions, it would have been about 94-ish, 95. The first time it ever happened, I was staying with my dad because my parents were divorced. And I remember he lived in this old three-story wooden cabin in the middle of the woods. And of course, it's creaky and everything, but I never really felt scared out there, which is kind of weird because it's like a creaky old cabin. But I remember the third story had a spiral staircase that would go into the bedroom. So it was an open room that it would go into, and me and my sister stayed there. Well, when I used to spend the night with my dad, my little sister, she used to creep up those stairs at night and crawl in bed with me. And, you know, she just wanted to be with her big sister. I used to keep a flashlight and everything right by my side of the bed, so in case, you know, she wouldn't trip over the stairs or whatever. Well, one night I heard the stairs starting to creak and shake, like as if she was coming up the stairs. And then I saw this light start to get brighter and brighter. So I was like, oh, she brought her own flashlight. And then once the person appeared, it wasn't my little sister. It was this little girl. She was probably, I had a guess, about 9 or 10 years old, and she had a white dress, completely floor length white dress. She had a white bonnet on. She had blue eyes and blonde hair and very, very pale skin. And she was kind of just like sneaking and creeping up there. And then she turned and she saw me, and I made eye contact with her, and it freaked me out because I had never seen her before and I didn't know where she came from. So I remember hiding under my covers, and I remember I took a small peek. And she was approaching my feet. And as she approached my feet got ice cold. So I just kind of hid under my covers and just tried not to breathe. And then I felt the coldness kind of go away, but then I didn't feel anything for a few more seconds. So I was trying to figure out, well, where did she go? So after I got the courage, I kind of pulled the sheets away from my eyes. And whenever I did that, she was face to face with me. I mean, almost nose to nose, and just staring at me. And I remember looking into her eyes, and I was just so petrified, like I couldn't even move. She kind of backed up. When she backed up, I just covered myself again because I was freaked out. And then I peeked again. We had bunk beds. And so I saw her starting to climb up my sister's bunk bed. Whenever I saw her and she saw me see her, she stopped and then she crawled back down. And then the next thing I know, she stood like in the middle of the room and she just vanished, like just like as if it never happened. You know, there was no light, no nothing. Like it's just boom, she was gone. And so I was like, okay, well, I don't know what that was about. And I remember telling my dad the next morning, I'm like, there was this little girl that came into our room last night and it wasn't my little sister. And he just laughed and he just, you know, like, oh, Brittany's telling stories again. Mm-hmm. So then about a week later, it was about 2:30 in the morning. And I remember I was at my mom's house and I was sleeping, and you could see the hallway from where my bed was. And coming down the hallway, you could see the bright light. And I was like, well, no one in my mom's house uses flashlights. And then all of a sudden it was her again. So she came into my bedroom and she kind of kneeled at the foot of my bed and she really didn't say anything. And this time I didn't feel so scared. I just was more curious by this time as to who she was. She kind of circled around to the other side of my bed and then she just disappeared again. She didn't say anything. I didn't get anything from her at all, like mentally, like I didn't know what to think. Next weekend, I went to go spend the night with my grandma. And I remember telling my grandma about her. And she's like, well, Brittany, will you draw me a picture? So I did. So I drew a picture of what she looked like. Then the next weekend, I went to get my suitcase out because I was going to spend the next weekend with her too. She calls me and she's like, hey, Brittany, do you know where I put that picture at? And I said, yeah, you took it and you folded it into fours. And I remember you putting it in the side of your purse. And she said, well, that's what I remember too, but I just cleaned out my purse and I can't find it. And I said, well, you placed it on the side portion, not the inside. And she says, well, that's what I thought. And it's not there. So then I was like, well, that's weird. I'll just draw you another picture. So she's like, okay, well, I'll pick you up, so on. So I get my suitcase out and I put it up on the bed and I zip it open. And lying open is the picture that I drew of this little girl. And I was like, what? I mean, like, how did that happen? It's an empty suitcase. I never saw her again after that. It was almost like, I don't know if she was mad that I exposed her or what, but I never saw her again.
Oh, so. Maybe she was validated that you actually saw her.
Yeah, maybe so. That's a good different way of thinking about it. Because I've always wondered, like, what did I do wrong? You know?
She never got a chance to get a portrait done until then.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe she just wanted to be remembered. You know?
That's true. Yeah.
And now she's going down in podcast history.
Right. There you go. I don't even know her name. So, yeah.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. You know, I think it really telling that the story that you said is lighter and not as dark would probably be the scariest thing that ever happened to somebody else.
Well, okay, but she had a bedroom full of demons. That's true. When she was a little girl. So
yeah,
that was freaky.
I can't even imagine. So I have to ask, I know that you are in Lakeland, Florida. So All of these events have happened in Lakeland.
Right.
I have to wonder if there's something about Lakeland. I mean, this is a legion of demons is not exactly your run-of-the-mill paranormal situation.
Well, you know, we have a lot of water, bodies of water here. And then you got the I-4 corridor that goes from one side of the ocean to the Gulf, too. There's lots and lots of traffic, and people can bring things, too.
I swear, I-4 is cursed.
It is.
We all know I-4. Everyone in this podcast knows I-4. There is something about that road. I swear, I think somebody must have placed a hex on it or something. I remember I used to drive it every single day, 72 miles each way, and I would see these huge pileups on the side of the road, these terrible accidents every day. It wasn't maybe one or two cars either. I mean, I would see horrible crashes. And I remember thinking, there's something about this road, and one day it will be my turn. And when it was my turn, because it did happen, I did a 360 at 75 miles per hour, sliced off the front of my car and ended up in the median. Thankfully, I was okay.
Wow.
The very first thing, I looked down to make sure my legs were there. They were. And then the second thing I thought was, oh, good, I'm over it. It's happened.
Well, you know, it's like, at least I'm alive, right?
Yeah. My I-4 experience, this was, hopefully this will be the worst of it.
Yeah.
Everybody has an I-4 experience, not too far outside of Lakeland. I think soon after Diana, you and I moved away, it was like a 37 car pileup, I think. Ooh. Do you remember
that? Oh, yes. I remember that. It was horrible. I don't even remember what caused it either.
Fog.
I think it was a fog.
Yeah, it was a terrible fog.
And I think that was closer to the Disney area where that happened.
Yeah, I remember it was between Lakeland and Orlando. Right. And if I recall, there were like five or six semis that jackknifed in it. And I think three patrol cars. I don't remember the exact numbers. We can always look it up. But yeah, something like three patrol cars went to the rescue of this and ended up in the crash themselves.
Oh, man. So
wow.
It was, to me, that maybe I'm drawing correlations here where they don't exist, but...
There's a lot going on, and I really think that water is a conduit for energies. You think of holy water, you know, for blessings and stuff, but I believe that bodies of waters is a natural conduit. In Florida, I mean, it's nothing really but water. It's all swamp, lakes, streams. Yeah. We're at sea level, you know. Right. I know on the north side of Lakeland, there's been stories because there were reservations and things that I think were taken, weren't supposed to be taken. So I've just heard some real estate stories about that where it's been bad. So anyway, I just think that there could be some curses upon the land as well. So I just try not to think about it.
Do you have a feeling that this is somehow following you throughout your life, or that you're just more hyper aware of it than other people?
I want to say that when I was younger, I used to feel like it followed me wherever I went, especially with like that little girl. It wasn't like she was there at the cabin, you know. The cabin's old and it's the middle of the woods. I mean, she followed me to my mom's house, which is not. I used to feel that way. I do know I'm very hypersensitive to this as well. I always have been, and I'm learning that there's also other family members that never talked about it until I started opening my mouth that are also hypersensitive to that as well.
Okay, so it's always been a thing in the family, just that you're the first one to speak about it openly, maybe.
Exactly. When I was younger and I would talk about it, I was pretty much told to be quiet, it's your imagination, that type of thing. But I'm always been the kind that I speak my mind, so it was just, I just did whatever I felt like. I got backlash, and I got backlash. It's just, you know, I didn't care what people think about me.
Well, I'm, for one, I'm very glad that you are speaking up. These are incredible experiences to talk about. Yeah. Scary, terrifying, but still incredible.
Another story was right after my grandfather died. He was the one who was the pastor. He died back in 2000. It was just a very sad situation. And I remember the night before his funeral, I had a dream. And in the dream, I remember that we were in some sort of courtyard, and it was like a building that, like a square or rectangle building, but in the center was an open courtyard. The windows and the doors were all glass mirrored, and we were walking. And I remember my grandma and my mom were in front of me, and I was kind of trailing behind them. And you could tell they were in mourning and they were sad and everything. And everyone that was walking around this courtyard had the same thing where they were mourning and they were sad. And I remember seeing across the courtyard this guy, and he looked familiar, but I couldn't quite place him. He just looked really familiar though. And he looked at me and he recognized me as well. And I was like, who is that? And then he smiled. And when he smiled, I realized it was my grandfather, but he was in a different body. And so I got so excited. And I was like, Grandma, Grandma, Grandpa is across the courtyard. And she's like, no, he's dead, Brittany. He's not there. And I'm like, no, look, he's there. So she stopped and she looked and she saw him and he saw her. And she ran to him and he ran to her. And I remember they embraced and he gave her a kiss and he said, I want you to know that I am always with you and I always love you and I will never leave you. And then all of a sudden the dream stopped and it went black, but it wasn't over. Then all of a sudden he came forward in the black darkness and he says, Brittany, when you get up in the morning, I want you to go to your grandma's house and tell her what you saw. So then I woke up and I went over to her house. I remember when I went in her front door, she was in her kitchen at the sink, looking out the window at the shed that he used to feed his birds and stuff at. I said, Grandma, I need to tell you something. And so I told her the dream and I said, Grandpa told me to tell you that he has never left you and he'll never leave you and he'll always be with you and he loves you. And then she broke down crying and she says, Brittany, she said, last night, before I went to bed, I was talking to him and I said, I just don't feel you here anymore. She said, just give me a sign that you're still with me. And then I had that dream, and she says, "Brittany, you're my angel. Thank you so much for giving me that." That was really cool. I was glad that I was able to, you know, give her that closure. So,
wow, that's a great story.
Yeah. But yeah, so that was really cool. I was glad to do that. My other grandfather, her dad, him and me had a real special bond. He was my great-grandfather. I remember one time I was helping her mow the yard, and I went into her house to get a drink of water from the kitchen. If you kind of step out of the kitchen, you can see the living room and you can see the front door, and she had the blinds open, and she always had this bench that was right underneath her window so people could sit there, you know, enjoy the weather, because we were kind of out in the country over there. And I remember looking through the window, and I saw this man, the back of this man's head's there. And I was like, well, who's here? It's just me and her. I walked to the front door, and I opened the door, and I look over, and it's my great-grandfather. Well, he passed away in 96, and this was probably 99. And he looked up at me, and he smiled, and then he turned, and he looked back at my grandma mowing the yard. And I just kind of sat there. It was almost like it was just awesome first to see my great-grandfather again. And also, he just was so at peace just watching her mow the yard. And then when I looked back over, he was gone. So my grandma came in for some water, and I said, "Grandma," I said, "I saw Grandpa." And she says, "Where?" And I said, "Right there on the bench." And she said, "Well, I know he used to sit there, but he's not there." And I said, "Well, no, he was sitting right here on the bench watching you mow the yard." And she says, "Well, you know, Brittany, when he was alive, he used to sit right in that very spot and watch me mow the yard. And I always wondered why he would sit there and watch me. I didn't know if it was because he just wanted to see his little girl, or if he just felt bad that he couldn't help, or what." And I said, "I think he just wanted to see his little girl again." But anyway, so I had some good ones, too. So we're some lighter ones.
Awesome.
Those are awesome. Making me cry.
Yeah. it really, I don't know. Do you feel like a natural medium? Like that's part of your calling to the world, is to connect people with their loved ones who have passed?
I don't know if it's necessarily that, but I have been told by people that they think I'm an empath. I can tell you a weird story about that as well. It's not a ghost story, but it's a really weird story. I was going to Publix, of course. We love Publix. Give a little plug there. I went to Publix one day, and I had my son with me, and he was probably about 2 at the time. And I noticed this elderly lady was always, like, we were always running into each other throughout the aisles. And she was always kind of, like, staring me down. And I didn't know, like, you know, she just thought my baby was cute, or, you know, what the deal was. So, like, the third time we ran into each other in one of the aisles, she just came up to me, and she just held my hands, and she says, "Can I just hold your hands for just a moment?" And I thought that was a really weird request, because I never had anyone just want to hold my hand, especially a stranger in a grocery store. Well, I noticed before she held my hand, she was shaking, like really violently shaking. You could tell that it was just something that she lives with. The moment that she touched my hands, it stopped, and I started shaking. I remember her telling me, she says, "I've had brain surgery to try to disconnect the, I don't know what it is that was disconnected to try to stop it. She's been on medication for several years." And she said she has never had any relief. And she said something just told her to come up to me and just hold my hands. And so she said this was the first time in years that she had ever been able to feel her body just stop shaking. She asked me if I would just hold her hands just for a couple of minutes, just so she could take it in what it was like to not shake. So I did. And the moment she let go, I stopped shaking, and she started shaking again. And that was the first time that I was like, what's going on here? And I've had, you know, some other experiences too, like my massage therapist. She says all the time, when she says that I'm always in her head. She says whenever she connects with me through the massage therapy, she says that I'm dictating what she's going to do. And she says she's never had anyone like that. And I don't know. I've never really tried to work on it or discover whatever this is, but, you know, I definitely think it's a gift of some sort that might be worth looking into.
Absolutely. That's amazing.
Yeah.
To have a stranger just seek you out, like just
I know.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't even know what her name is.
How cool.
Wow. Well, quite a plethora, I guess is a good word, of all those stories.
Yeah. A lot of experiences, but also, Brittany, you're a master storyteller. You're riveting when you relate them. So thank you for coming and telling us your stories. That was an experience.
Thank you.
Yes. Appreciate it. That's
wonderful. Diana, do you have any questions, additional questions at all?
I'm sure I'll think of so many to come, but I'm just so engaged in everything Brittany shared that I can't think of any right now.
Okay.
But definitely, you know, it seems like a lot of, you know, there's no common theme. There's not necessarily like, oh, this keeps happening to me. This keeps happening in my life. But it seems like you're open to these events that maybe a lot of us are not open to and don't see, don't recognize, or maybe you're putting out an energy that other people pick up on. So.
Yeah, I think I shared this with you, Becky, when I saw you, that I decided that we're not necessarily just humans walking around and when we die, that's it. I really believe that we are spiritual beings that are living in a human body. In the Bible, it talks about how your body is a temple. Well, of course, the temple is where God lives. So I feel like we're spiritual beings that are living in these bodies that God has given us.
I wonder how that would relate to certain people being more sensitive than others. Do you have any insight into that?
I think it's kind of goes back to the saying of like the cup's half full or it's half empty. It's a different perspective. I'm always thinking about what am I doing that could affect somebody else? Because I'm the only one who can control me and my actions. I notice that when I watch other people, everybody is wanting everyone to control them, if you really look at it, and instead of them trying to control themselves. So I just think it's more of just being in tune with your surroundings and what you're doing, rather than what other people are doing.
Yeah, you seem like a very self-actualized woman. You know what's right and what you want to do. And so
that makes
sense that you're having these experiences and seeing them as empowerment rather than seeing them as scary. You know, you're seeing them as, okay, this is an opportunity for me to help somebody.
Right.
It's really cool.
Thank you.
All good stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Yes, that was all amazing, Brittany, from your stories, your insights, your willingness to open up to us with all these incredible experiences you've had. I can't thank you enough.
Oh, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Everyone, that is our show. Thanks again so much to Brittany for joining us. And please make sure you subscribe if you haven't done so already. And check us out on the website where we will have more juicy tidbits. Maybe we can dig up some things about Lakeland's history to put on this episode's show notes.
That'd be fun.
Be sure to check out our Facebook group, our Facebook page, and follow us on Instagram. And if you snap a great photo or have some interesting insights that you wish to share on Instagram, be sure to use the tag HomespunHaint so we will find it and we can share it accordingly.
And if you've already had an I-4 experience, share it so that it doesn't happen again. Because like Becky said, if you think about it that way, I-4 only happens to each person once. So
hopefully.
I have seen some things there, but I'm not experiencing anything there. So,
I won't even drive on it anymore. Whenever we're down in that
area, I
won't
now.
I make my husband drive whenever we get near there because I'm like, it's something about that road and me. Oh, well, Brittany, you probably have to drive it every day.
Yes, unfortunately. Yeah. It's the only interstate that doesn't connect any other states.
True.
Yeah.
It just gets more and more bizarre every time I think about it.
Right?
Well, again, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it. Had fun.
Good to be here.
Our pleasure.
Yes. Well, that was Homespun Haints, and we can't wait to hear more about some ghosts next time. I don't know how to sign off. Sorry. Oh.
Have a spooky day.
Oh, that's my sign off. I forgot. I got a new tagline. All right. This is Diana and Becky and Brittany with Homespun Haints. Until next time, have a spooky day.